Rory and Keith seemed absorbed with their boards. Hadn't the ace just shouted? "You should return to sickbay," Galleon said. "No," Maddox said. "You snored, sir," the hollow image said. Valerie looked up, shaking her head at Galleon. Maddox drew a deep breath and realized his joints didn't ache as much as before. In fact, the flu-like feeling had lessened. "The nap refreshed me," Maddox said in a crisp voice. "Are we ready to jump?"
"Yes, sir,"
Keith said. "Let's do this."
"Are you sure, sir?"
Valerie asked. An angry retort almost left the captain's mouth. He settled back in the chair and nearly lurched out of it as his wound touched the fabric. A tremor washed through him, and the renewed flu-like feeling almost made him gag. Maddox forced himself to sit up slowly and then stand, locking his knees. He was going to force himself to act normally, even though he felt off.
"What are you waiting for, Second Lieutenant?" he asked.
Shouldn't you sit down, sir?" Keith asked.
Maddox reached into his jacket, putting his hand on the cloth. He squeezed it so a knuckle popped. Then he removed the hand without extracting the handkerchief. Only then did he sit down.
"Maneuvering for the Xerxes system entry," Keith said.
On the main screen, the wormhole expanded. So did the massive, atmospheric, swirling gas giant.
"Planetary gravity has begun to affect our flight path," Valerie said. "The gravity dampeners are at 30%, 33%. 35. We're skimming the outer surface."
"No problem, love,"
Keith said. The wormhole entrance grew larger yet. Maddox gripped the armrests. He wasn't looking forward to this.
3, 2, 1, Keith said. "We're entering the Lomer Point."
Starship Victory fell into the wormhole, zipping a little over 3 light years in less than 2 seconds, popping out on the other side in the Xerxes system. Maddox raised his head. The others were still in the grip of jump lag. Galleon did nothing. The AI was always the worst affected. To the captain's surprise, he no longer sweated. In fact, the ache in his joints had abated, and he felt good. Maddox flexed his right hand and moved the shoulder near the wound. That tugged at the wounded flesh and sent a spike of pain there. He winced. It throbbed for a moment, but it was more bearable now. The others began to revive. 10 minutes later, Galleon solidified.
"The sensors are rebooting,"
Valerie said. "Initiate scan," Maddox said. "Any messages yet?"
"No, sir,"
Valerie said. "Do you see the packet?"
"I do, sir. It's right where it should be."
"Are there any messages in its files?" Maddox asked. Valerie tapped her board.
"No, sir, nothing."
"Galleon," Maddox asked. The hollow image shook his head.
"I haven't received any signals, sir."
Keith adjusted his controls. Maddox studied the main screen. The Xerxes system had several planets and a tight manufactured asteroid belt. Deep within that collection of rocks, asteroids, and hidden drone bases was the Nexus, a silver pyramid with an incredible power to send a starship over 100 light years in a single super jump.
"No message buoys?" Maddox asked.
"Nothing,"
Keith said. The ace turned around.
"Could the system be empty of ships, sir?"
"Galleon, take us toward the asteroid belt while remaining at full alert. Scan for anything unusual. Port Admiral Hayes went from Earth directly to the Xerxes system. He should be here. Maybe he's on the other side of the star."
"Maybe," Keith said. "Unless builder drones took him out."
"I doubt that," Valerie said. "Admiral Hayes was to proceed with utmost caution. I studied his record when I used to work for the Lord High Admiral. Hayes would be the last person to let others take him by surprise."
"Any sign of a space battle?" Maddox asked.
"Negative," Galleon said. "His flotilla can't just have disappeared,"
Valerie said.
"We have yet another mystery," the ace said.
"Keep scanning," Maddox said. "Galleon, I want the disruptor cannon ready."
"Affirmative,"
the AI said. The starship headed for the asteroid belt, the shields at full power, and the main armaments primed for firing. 4 hours later, Valerie shook her head.
"Sir, there's no sign of silver drones, no sign of new men star cruisers, and absolutely no sign of Port Admiral Hayes. This star system is empty."
"I'm open to suggestions," Maddox said. Valerie swiveled around to face him.
Sir, we must approach the Nexus, but I urge extreme caution. This doesn't make sense, but the Silver Pyramid strikes me as the most likely reason for whatever has gone wrong.
Unless weapons portals appeared and sent missiles at the Port Admiral's flotilla, Keith said.
Show me the debris, Valerie said. Show me the radiation signatures. There hasn't been a battle here since we fought the drones.
Did Hayes leave the system? Keith asked.
That seems like the only explanation, Maddox said.
Why would he leave? The ace asked.
Maybe someone forced him to, Valerie said.
Maddox regarded the hollow image.
You haven't suggested anything, Galleon. Do you have an opinion?
I do, Galleon said. The Port Admiral's disappearance would suggest someone has readied the Xerxes system for us. The Ludendorff AI desired you here, as did the Shanghai androids.
Maybe Ludendorff is really stuck in the Nexus, Maddox said.
I give that a 35% probability.
What is the greatest probability? Maddox asked.
That our hidden enemy wishes to capture you, Galleon said.
Why? Maddox asked.
I have insufficient data to say.
How will they make the attempt? Maddox asked.
That seems clear, Galleon said. They will attempt it as you, personally, enter the Nexus to rescue Professor Ludendorff.
I agree, Maddox said. Well then, let's get started.
Sir?
Valerie asked.
Let's head to the Nexus, as you suggested, Maddox said. We need to see their next move if we're going to use it to help us solve the mystery. Chapter 27 Starship Victory spent the next day accelerating toward the Nexus's known location. As the asteroids neared, the ancient vessel decelerated. On the bridge, Valerie threw her hands into the air.
This doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't the Port Admiral have left a message buoy or sent one of his ships back home? He knows how important knowledge is to Star Watch.
You worry too much, Keith said.
They were alone on the bridge, the captain having told them several hours ago he was going to exercise.
And you don't worry enough, Valerie shot back. I've never understood your carefree attitude. You know how harsh the universe is. Your brother's strike fighter death...
Leave my brother out of it, thank you.
Valerie turned from Keith, fiddling with her controls. She hated it when she shot her mouth off. Why couldn't she learn to think before speaking? Her dad used to tell her to use her noggin before yapping, tapping a finger against her head while he said it.
Look, she said. I'm sorry, I didn't mean...
It's nothing, Keith said.
No, it is. You...
Lieutenant, Keith said sharply.
Her teeth clicked together and she held herself rigidly. The small ace frowned as he studied his board. He began shaking his head.
I don't like talking about my brother. I miss him, you know.
Valerie nodded. She missed her dad.
He was the good one, Keith said. I have always been the troublemaker. It runs in my blood. I like to have fun. I like to race along the edge so I feel alive. He didn't have to do it that way. He could read books, be normal.
You must love working for the captain, then, Valerie said.
That I do, Keith said, grinning. The man has style.
I bet he's sleeping, not exercising.
Are you kidding? Keith said. Don't you know you and me would be howling like mad dogs if we took a shot like that? I've seen laser poisoning before during the Tau Ceti conflict. It's ugly. The captain, I can't believe he's even on his feet. He's a superman.
Valerie snorted.
That makes two people who think so, you and the captain.
Aye, me and the captain, two lonely people.
Lonely? Valerie exclaimed. You think the captain is lonely?
Oh, I do, love. I most certainly do. The man believes he's an island, maybe because he's had to be. He's hard, I admit that, but he's good. None better, if you ask me. Yes, I love serving on Victory. Let the good times roll, I say.
What do you think happened to the Port Admiral?
Keith stared at the main screen.
This is a haunted star system. We know that, right?
No.
Keith grinned.
Oh, aye, you know. But you want a steely world, without ghosts. You want everything in its place, because Detroit showed you what happens when civilization takes a vacation.
Valerie stared at Keith, surprised at his sudden insightfulness.
I think you're right. I want order, because of all the disorder I faced while growing up.
She checked her board. At the very edge of the asteroid field floated a medium-sized rock. Beyond it, by several hundred kilometers, was another, and another, and tens of thousands more just like it.
Better call the captain, she said. Victory is about to enter the minefield.
Maddox had indeed gone to his quarters to sleep. He lay in bed, having slept for several hours. Now he debated taking a pain pill. The wound was healing, but much slower than it should, in his opinion.
Captain,
the intercom said. He swept back the covers and sat up gingerly.
Captain,
I'm coming,
he said. Finally, he reached the intercom, clicking it.
Yes. We're entering the asteroid belt, sir. We should be near the Nexus in 3 hours.
Thank you, he said. I'll be there shortly.
He pulled back the bandage, studying the angry red skin around the burn. He swung his arm, testing the wound.
Ah, he said, pressing the bandage back into place.
He dressed, drank some water, and strode through the corridors. Was Ludendorff waiting in the Nexus for him? The idea of leaving the ship and heading to the Silver Pyramid with Meta appealed to him on one level. He wondered how wise it would be, though. Soon he found himself by Meta's hatch. He knocked, and she shouted for him to enter. Meta combed her hair before a mirror.
We're entering the asteroid belt, he said.
You're wondering just how well I remember my time with Kane, aren't you?
She said finally. He nodded.
Too bad Dana isn't here to help me replay the memories, she said.
We'll find her once we get back to Earth, Maddox said.
What's in the dome down in the mid-Atlantic? I can't stop thinking about it.
I'm more concerned about what's in the Nexus. The professor said he's at 12-3-BB, whatever that means.
Maybe once we're inside, it will make sense.
Maddox looked away. He was tired of this cat-and-mouse game. It struck him as Strand's play. Would Strand help him in the Nexus, or...
If the Star Cruisers appear, Galleon will destroy them piecemeal, the captain said.
You still think this is about capturing victory?
What else could it be? He asked.
Meta shrugged.
Let's go.
She rose, coming to him, beginning to hug him until he groaned painfully. She jerked back.
I'm sorry, she said. I forgot about your wound. Are you...
I'm fine, Maddox said, turning to go.
It's okay to be injured, she said. You don't have to be perfect all the time.
He nodded without turning back to her.
What is it, Maddox? Something more is troubling you.
She was right. But the problem was that it hovered just out of sight in his mind. It was as if all the pieces were there, spinning and rolling, and he couldn't put them together. If he could jam them in the right sequence, he was certain he would know the game. The captain flexed his gun hand. He wanted to grapple against the hidden foe. This padding around in the dark was starting to get to him.
It must be the laser burn. It will heal. I just have to give it time.
Wait,
she said. Maddox waited by the hatch.
Okay,
she said, slipping a compact weapon into her pocket. They left her room and hurried down the corridor.
Captain,
Galleon said, appearing beside them. Maddox nodded.
I've detected an anomaly near the Nexus.
Yes,
Maddox said under his breath. Then he broke into a sprint for the bridge. On the bridge, Maddox stood before the main screen. Meta had hurried to engineering. What am I seeing? He asked. The hollow image of Driving Force Galleon stood beside the captain. The image turned to look up at Maddox. The vast asteroid field surrounded the ancient structure of the Nexus. The Builder Pyramid was massive, much bigger than Victory, and larger even than the hugest container ship used by the transport corporations. Beside the pyramid, by 300 kilometers, was swirling space, a stellar whirlpool of silvery complexion.
Meta never said anything about this with her journey with Kane, Maddox muttered. We never saw anything like this last voyage either, Keith added. It just appeared several minutes ago.
What is it? Maddox asked.
Unknown, Galleon said.
What's causing it?
I am picking up strange signals from the Nexus, Galleon said. It is possible the pyramid is causing the anomaly.
Is there matter in it? Maddox asked.
Negative, Galleon said.
What causes the silvery color?
Unknown.
Is matter drawn to the whirlpool?
None that I can sense, Galleon replied.
Do we back up, sir? Valerie asked.
Maddox didn't answer. He watched the swirling location. The starship was 20,000 kilometers from it, almost next door in system terms.
Could that be a frozen exit for the 100-light-year jump? Maddox asked.
Nothing indicates that to be so, Galleon said. But it seems as if that might be the likeliest possibility, the captain said. That implies star cruisers might be coming through soon.
Or something much worse, Valerie said.
Maddox glanced at her.
Maybe another destroyer is trying to transfer here, the lieutenant said.
Aren't you the cheerful one? Keith told her.
The disruptor cannon is ready to fire, sir, Galleon said.
The disruptor doesn't mean anything to a destroyer, Valerie said. We'd better be ready to jump out of the system if one appears.
Maddox nodded absently, raising an arm and signaling Keith.
Aye, aye, sir, Keith said. Initiating star drive procedures. If you want to jump, sir, give me the word and we'll be gone.
For the next 15 minutes, Victory waited, unmoving.
Too bad we can't communicate with the professor inside the pyramid, Keith said. He could tell us what that is.
Maddox snapped his fingers. Lieutenant, try to hail the pyramid.
Is that a good idea, sir? Valerie asked. I have a terrible feeling about this. The anomaly didn't appear until we closed. I think it's waiting for us to approach closer.
You truly believe the swirling non-substance has the ability to reason? Galleon asked.
Bad choice of words, Valerie told the AI. Whoever caused the whirlpool to appear is waiting for us to do something.
Thank you for the clarification, Valerie.
Raise the pyramid, Maddox said. See if we can communicate with Ludendorff.
Yes, sir,
Valerie said as she tapped her board.
Professor Ludendorff, can you hear me? Come in, please, Professor.
Look, Keith shouted. The anomaly is moving. It's heading for us.
Maddox had noted the sudden movement as well. The silvery, swirling non-substance lurched directly at the starship as soon as Valerie opened communications with the Nexus.
Anything? Maddox asked the lieutenant.
What?
Valerie asked, tearing her gaze from the main screen.
Did you receive a reply from Ludendorff?
Maddox asked. Woodenly, Valerie studied her panel.
No, sir, no reply.
Try again.
Sir,
please do as ordered, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir,
she said, trying to reach Ludendorff a second time. Soon she looked up at the captain and shook her head.
Shut off the comm, please,
Maddox said as he watched the swirling anomaly advance toward them. Second Lieutenant, back up with increasing speed. I do not want the anomaly reaching us.
Aye, aye, sir,
Keith said, his nimble fingers roving over the flight panel. Everyone on the bridge watched the main screen. The anomaly kept advancing, closing the distance between them.
It's still tracking us, Valerie said. Turning off the comm hasn't changed anything.
Do you sense tracking signals coming from the anomaly?
Maddox asked the AI.
Negative,
Galleon said.
It's gaining on us even faster, sir, Keith said.
Increase speed.
I am, sir. I suggest...
Maddox turned to stare at the pilot.
I'm waiting for further orders, sir,
Keith said.
Galleon, Maddox said. Fire on the anomaly with the disruptor cannon.
Immediately, the starship's antimatter engines began to build up. The bulkheads thrummed at the power. Then a beam lanced from Victory, striking the anomaly and passing through it into the void behind.
Do you detect any difference in the anomaly? Maddox asked.
Negative,
Galleon said.
The disruptor beam had zero effect on it.
Sir, Keith said, it has increased speed yet again. It's closing with us.
I can see that for myself, Maddox said in a calm voice.
Steady as she goes.
This one feels bad, sir, Keith said.
For once, I'm with the lieutenant.
Thank you for your statement, Maddox said absently.
his focus zeroed in on the fast-approaching, swirling whirlpool. The captain was thinking, trying to put the pieces together. The Shanghai android had kidnapped him. The Ludendorff hollow image had begged him to come here. Port Admiral Hayes was gone with utterly no sign of the flotilla. Surely in time, Hayes would have inspected the Nexus. The anomaly must be...
Lieutenant, Maddox said crisply, turn on the Lommer drive.
Sir?
Valerie asked.
Please act with alacrity, Maddox said. Every second may count.
I'm turning on the Lommer drive, she said, tapping her board.
Immediately, the silver whirlpool changed complexion. The silver color vanished. In its place was darkness that seemed to vanish into infinity like a tunnel.
A portal, Valerie whispered. Good thinking, sir, Keith said. But I don't understand this, Valerie said. If it's like a Lommer point, how can it be moving? That doesn't make sense.
A new type of physics, perhaps, Maddox said.
I suggest we jump out of danger, Galleon said. Let us evaluate this at our leisure.
Your advice is noted, Maddox said, but I will decline it today. Second Lieutenant, stop retreating. I've changed my mind. We will advance into the anomaly.
Captain, Valerie said, growing pale, that seems unnecessarily rash.
Shut down the disruptor cannon, Maddox said. We don't want it on while we go through and jump lag distorts critical systems. Second Lieutenant, do we have any Baxter lock shots?
That we do, sir.
Listen to me, Maddox told the others. We're going in ready to fight. Our enemy expects us to run. It will take too long to use the star drive. That means it's unlikely we can outrun the anomaly. Thus, we will commit the least expected action. We will charge it.
This is extremely rash, sir, Valerie warned.
The anomaly strikes me as the answer to what happened to Port Admiral Hayes, the captain said. I plan to rescue him and the flotilla if I can.
I know we saved the Fifth Fleet before, sir, Valerie said, but this time...
Hurry with those shots, Maddox told Keith. The small Scotsman leaped up with a fistful of hypos in his hand. Maddox retreated to the command chair. Soon, Keith came to him, giving him one of the injections. The shots helped against jump lag, although it could cripple, too. The injection made the captain feel itchy and sticky, which was good. That meant the drug was working. The swirling blackness raced nearer. It had grown to an immense size, easily able to swallow the starship.
The disruptor cannon is offline, sir, Galleon said.
Be ready to warm it up as soon as we exit the wormhole, Maddox said.
Chapter 28 Victory had halted its run while the anomaly's speed increased. The ad-hoc vessel had almost reached a complete stop by the time the strange entrance engulfed the starship.
Dear God, Valerie prayed. Please help me. Help all of us.
Aye, Keith muttered, crossing himself. Then the ancient starship was in the transfer point. Maddox forced his eyes wide open. One second, Victory entered the blackness. The next, a sensation of incredible speed took hold. Everything became dark, and everything seemed to flash past the starship. The bulkheads around them shook. Maddox called out, but the sound came out distorted, as if time had twisted out of sorts. Colors changed. The captain felt the gore rise in him. He snapped his mouth closed, refusing to give in to pain or weakness. The shaking around him increased. The sense of speed and vast distance grew disproportionately. A warbled scream floated across the bridge. At that point, the bridge seemed to flow together as if in a nightmare. The captain felt as if he smelled the weird colors and saw sounds like waves in a sea. His gripping fingertips tasted the ends of the armrests. Abruptly, the weirdness reversed itself. The bridge quit melting into odd forms and hardened back into its regular shapes. The blackness around the ship remained the same. No. He spied an exit that rushed toward them. Everything slowed, and the mighty starship popped out of the transfer tube, if that's what it was, and drifted once again in normal space. The screen and most of the ship's systems shut down at that point due to jump lag. Maddox stood. The Baxter lock shot had done its trick.
He hardly felt the ill effects of the journey, just a dryness of the tongue.
"Is anyone else okay yet?" the captain asked.
"I am, sir," Valerie said.
"Good. Did you experience anything bizarre during the journey?"
"Yes,"
she said in a small voice.
"It was frightening."
"Right," Maddox said. "Let's get our ship working. We don't know what kind of committee is waiting for us." Valerie turned to her panel, tapping away.
"It's dead, sir. It's going to take..."
At that moment, the starship's systems began to come back online.
"That was quick," Valerie said. "Much quicker than usual."
"Oh," Keith said, raising his head off the flight panel. "It feels as if I have a hangover."
"You're fine, Second Lieutenant," Maddox said. "Just like jump lag, the Baxter lock shots work differently on different people. Get the ship ready for battle."
"Aye, aye, sir,"
Keith muttered as he tried to rub something off his tongue. After several minutes, the main screen finally flickered on, but Galleon was still motionless. Maddox slid to the edge of his chair, studying space. Something felt off, but he couldn't place it. He kept searching. The system star was muted, more than any other he'd seen in his travels.
"Is that a white dwarf?" the captain asked.
"Sir," Valerie said with dread in her voice, "I can't believe what my sensors are showing me."
She fell silent, staring at her instruments.
"Spit it out, Lieutenant. Every second may count."
"Sir,"
she said, waving her hand in a vague manner.
"There is an enemy ship directly behind our stern," Keith shouted. "It's firing."
"Give me a visual,"
Maddox said. Keith tapped his board. The image on the main screen shifted. A huge saucer-shaped vessel, possibly three times Victory's size, fired a beam. It struck the collapsium hull armor as the shield hadn't come back online yet.
"Give me propulsion," Maddox said. "Don't let them keep hitting the same spot. Lieutenant, hail the vessel. Tell them we're friendly. Galleon! Galleon, are you awake yet?"
There was no answer from the frozen hollow image. Once again, a beam struck the starship, but it was at a different location.
"It's a heavy laser, sir," Valerie said.
She seemed hyper-focused on it, as if she didn't want to look at the other sensor readings.
"At least they don't have better weaponry than us. That suggests the enemy ship doesn't belong to the new men."
Maddox clicked the comm on his armrest.
"I'm requesting that you stop firing. We are friendly, I repeat."
"There's an incoming message, sir," Valerie said. "I'm putting it on the main screen."
The main screen wavered, then a metal construct, vaguely humanoid, appeared. The head was box-shaped. It opened its orifice, and high-speed words came out.
"Can the computer analyze that?" Maddox asked.
"Maybe,"
Valerie said, sounding dubious. The metal creature tilted its head. Lights flashed in its eyes. The orifice, or mouth, closed and opened again.
"You use a variation of Angelic 2.3, the robot said. "That is interesting. Now we will work on specifics. I demand your immediate surrender."
"Of course," Maddox said.
"We do surrender. Who do I have the privilege of addressing?"
"That is not germane to your surrender," the robot said. "I am sending a launch to your ship. Your crew will board the launch and head to the habitable sphere."
"Can you point out the sphere?" Maddox asked.
"We haven't spotted it yet." "Your curiosity suggests you are planning a deception. A moment while I coordinate." The main screen went blank.
"Galleon,"
Maddox hissed.
"Yes, Captain, I am awake."
"Good. Get the disruptor cannon ready, Lieutenant."
"The shield is energizing, sir," Valerie said.
The main screen flickered and the robot reappeared. "You must lower your shield immediately, as that is part of the surrender process."
"Yes, of course,"
Maddox said smoothly. All appearances of concern had vanished from his face.
"Thank you for your..."
"Do you understand what lower means?" the robot asked, interrupting. "De-energize your shield this instant."
"I do indeed understand the term lower," Maddox said in a friendly tone. "And I appreciate your query."
"That you understand means you have affirmed my command."
"That is correct," Maddox said. "May I add that communicating with you is a delight?"
"Your courtesy is noted and appreciated, however, your shield is still up. I demand an immediate lowering to prove you are surrendering to me. I have strict protocols. Your delay, whether manufactured or by accident, will soon result in the destruction of your vessel."
"I have ordered the shield lowered," Maddox said. "At times my crew acts in a slovenly manner. I will have the Slack crew members punished for this unconscionable delay.
A slovenly crew, the robot said. I had not anticipated such a thing.
A moment while I check.
Warning, my instruments reveal that your ship is readying a disruptor cannon.
That can't be, Maddox said.
I have not ordered such a dastardly action. We are guests in your star system and wish to comply in every way.
Lower your shield and shut down your offensive weaponry.
I hesitate to suggest such a thing, Maddox said, and please believe me when I tell you that absolutely no slight is intended. But could your instruments be at fault?
They cannot possibly be faulty, as I have perfect instrumentation.
How fortunate for you, Maddox said, sounding envious.
I wish I could say the same for my ship's instruments.
Ah, I have good news. My crew has informed me that they are shutting down the shield and cannon.
We await your launch with...
One moment, the robot said. Its eyes flashed with blinking lights. When they returned to normal luminosity, the creature asked,
Are you Captain Maddox?
Who is he?
The captain asked. The eye lights dimmed and then brightened once more.
You fit the suggested form of Captain Maddox. I also detect a deception in progress. I will fire in 3 seconds unless you lower the shield and turn off your weaponry.
May I ask you a question first?
Yes.
Have you heard of Professor Ludendorff?
I have. He is the one who instructed me in your appearance and placed my protocols.
Keith cursed at his station.
That changes matters considerably, Maddox said. I will only surrender to Professor Ludendorff. Please put him on the screen.
Negative, the robot said.
They've started firing again, Valerie said.
The main screen wavered, showing a heavy laser striking the shield. Another laser beam lanced out from the giant saucer ship, and another, and a fourth. They concentrated on one tiny spot, turning the shield there a cherry red, and then a deeper brown color.
They will achieve a burn through sooner than we like, Valerie said.
Shall I employ the neutron beam? Galleon asked.
No, Maddox said. We're going to hit them hard with the disruptor.
That will be cutting it closer, Valerie said.
These are incredibly heavy lasers. Their wattage is equal to 7 SW battleships combined.
Maddox nodded, waiting, wondering if the real Professor Ludendorff had told the robot these things, or if that Ludendorff had been an android.
Second Lieutenant, Maddox said, do you have any idea of our location compared to our last known spot in the Xerxes system?
Not yet, Keith said. I've been too busy to check.
I know our stellar position, sir, Valerie said as she worked her board. I figured it out almost right away. It's what had me speechless. You're not going to believe this, sir, but we're 1,000 light-years from our last location.
Maddox stared at the lieutenant.
I wish I could enjoy the moment, Valerie said. I don't think I've ever seen you startled before, sir.
Maddox shifted on his chair, closing his mouth.
Galleon, how much longer until the disruptor cannon is ready?
3 minutes, sir.
The area of shield was changing color from brown to black.
I can still use the neutron beam, sir, Galleon said.
Maddox shook his head. He wanted to put as much of the ship's power as possible into the disruptor beam at the first strike. He wanted to obliterate the enemy vessel, if he could, as fast as possible. 1,000 light years. That was incredible. He didn't doubt the lieutenant. The technology for such a leap... These must be builders. Maybe the creature speaking to him was a builder. But then why did its ship only have heavy lasers? There was something else. Had the 1,000 light-year transfer tube swept up Port Admiral Hayes and his people? That seemed like the most obvious answer.
Does the enemy vessel possess a shield? Maddox asked.
The same kind as a star cruiser, sir, Valerie said.
The same strength, too? The captain asked.
Maybe 50% stronger, Valerie said.
Uh-oh, she said.
They have burned through.
The enemy beams punched through Victory's shield to strike the collapsium hull armor. Collapsium was the best armor anywhere, made of collapsed molecules. That made the hull armor incredibly dense. The beams, where they hit, turned the collapsium red. They continued to strike in one area. A slug of collapsium wobbled off the hull, floating away. The lasers were digging deeper.
Our cannon is online, sir, Galleon said.
Excellent, Maddox said. Fire at will until the enemy ship is destroyed.
The antimatter engines built up power. Then the disruptor beam shot from Victory reaching across the 15,000 kilometers to strike the enemy vessel. The disruptor cannon was much more powerful than a mere laser, even a laser 7 times stronger than one on an SW battleship. The disruptor beam turned the enemy shield to brown almost right away.
"Sir,"
Valerie said. Maddox waved her to silence. He didn't want any warnings about this. Either their beam chewed into the enemy's innards first, or the enemy did it to victory. It was a simple equation with only one winner and possibly 2 losers.
"If these are builders," Galleon said, "why is our weaponry superior to theirs?"
"You think they're builders?" Maddox asked.
"It is the most logical answer, but it isn't conclusive."
Maddox watched the disruptor beam strike the blackening shield. The enemy ship dwarfed theirs, but it wasn't anything like the alien destroyer. He did not sense vast age, either. There wasn't a feeling of evil to the spacecraft. Of course, he wasn't as close to it as he'd been to the destroyer.
"Look," Valerie said, her voice quivering. "There's a 5th laser. Sir, we're in danger of a burn through to the hull. Maybe surrender is better than destruction. If Professor Ludendorff is here, we can still bargain, can't we?"
Maddox shook his head. He wasn't surrendering his ship 1,000 light-years from the Commonwealth. He would either win through or die. He did not believe.
"Yes," Keith shouted, slapping the piloting board. "We're through. Now you've had it, you bastards."
The powerful disruptor beam swept past the enemy's blackened shield and struck hull armor. It was some metallic alloy, but definitely wasn't collapsium. In seconds, the beam smashed into the interior saucer. The beam ignited breathable air, causing interior explosions. Valerie shouted the news as she used her sensors to probe for further data. Vast batteries blew aboard the enemy vessel, causing more explosions. Reactors melted. Others burst into nova flares. Sections of enemy hull armor shuddered. Explosions erupted on its outer skin like volcanoes. They spewed shredded metal, air, radioactive material, and clouds of water vapor into space. All the while, the disruptor beam continued to slice into the giant saucer. Entire sections of hull armor now burst away. Then, for a moment, the vast spaceship vibrated wildly.
"It's finished, sir," Valerie said.
Seconds later, a titanic explosion blew the vessel apart. An intense white light consumed much of the substance. Heat, blast, gamma, and X-rays traveled outward in an ever-expanding circumference.
"Aha, mate!" Keith shouted, banging the piloting board with a fist. "You suckered us down your hole, and that's what you get! That's what you get! Bugger off, you bastard, Ludendorff!"
"Here it comes," Valerie said. The gamma and X-rays struck the shield, making it buckle and turn a dark brown. Auto-defense cannons blasted at the largest chunks of the following debris. Galleon used the neutron beam to take down the biggest dangers.
"Let's move," Maddox said.
Keith's fingers flew across the board. He made the sluggish starship twist out of the path of masses of debris, but he couldn't dodge everything. Like a wave, the expanding junk struck the shield. The engines whined as they pumped extra power to the electromagnetic defenses.
"The shield is holding, sir," Valerie said.
Maddox watched, absorbed at the extent of the destruction and the possible death blow the enemy ship was attempting to deal them after the fact. Galleon had been analyzing the matter.
"Captain," the hollow image said, "I suggest this is a more serious danger than we could have reasonably expected."
"Continue," Maddox said.
"I believe the enemy intelligence knew it was defeated. It added munitions of Hellburner's strength to its destruction, attempting to defeat our shield after its demise."
"It would appear you're correct," Maddox said.
"I can understand the maneuver," Keith said. "But it's dirty just the same. We beat them after they tricked us down their tube. The least they could have done is die with dignity."
"There is no dignity in dying," Maddox said.
"Sir,"
Keith asked. Maddox turned to Galleon. "Are there any more saucers nearby?"
"Negative, Captain."
"Lieutenant, turn on the Larmor drive. I want to get out of here while we can. Let's find the transfer tube."
"Yes, sir,"
Valerie said. The aftershock of the destroyed saucer had passed on. They'd survived the deadly gamma rays and debris. The heat from the blast dissipated the quickest, posing the least danger.
"Nothing so far, sir," Valerie said.
"Let's move to the region of the destroyed ship," the captain said. "I suspect the entrance is there.
Galleon, keep scanning for approaching vessels. We don't want another surprise like that.
Affirmative, the AI said.
Keith worked quickly, moving the starship, turning them back toward the late enemy vessel.
Is the Lahmer drive still on? Maddox asked.
Of course, Valerie said. I'm still not picking up anything, though.
A half minute later, she added,
What if it's a one-way tube?
Maddox shook his head. I don't accept that. Continue the scan. 10 minutes later, it was clear. The Lahmer drive had failed to discover the entrance back into the 1,000-light-year tube.
Sir, Galleon said, my analyzer has computed the odds. The highest probability by many factors tells us we are stuck here. It will be years, if ever, till we return to the Commonwealth. Given such a situation, what are your orders, sir?
Chapter 29 Maddox carefully leaned his back against the command chair. His features were impassive. He could feel the gravity dampeners pull against his flesh. Despite his vaunted vigor, he felt tired. Maybe everyone did.
Turn off the Lahmer drive, Lieutenant, he said calmly. Begging your pardon, sir, Valerie said, but I suggest we try a little longer.
We will use our reason and regular sensors to find the answer, the captain said. For the moment, however, we are stuck 1,000 light-years from the Xerxes system.
Sir, Valerie said, giving him a stricken look. We can't give up looking. If it's years before we return home,
we will not remain out here. Years, Maddox said confidently. I assure you of that. Valerie blinked at him.
But if there's no opening,
Lieutenant, Maddox chided. I expect my officers to use their reason. We cannot find a tube, or whatever the jump technology was that transported us across the vast distance. That might seem disheartening, but we also haven't seen the silvery swirl that indicated the entrance the first time. Valerie tilted her head. It took a few seconds before a smile twitched into place.
You're right, sir. The silvery swirl had indicated something must have turned on the tube for us to use.
Such is my own belief. According to Galleon, the Nexus had beamed certain signals into the area of the whirlpool. Our Lahmer drive simply showed us a little more clearly what the Nexus had already opened. The conclusion seems obvious enough. We must find another Nexus in order to create another 1,000-light-year tube.
I have been running an analysis, Galleon said. I believe we traveled through hyperspace, for want of a better term. But we moved through a tunnel or tube. That would have made it a hyperspatial tube. That is how we traveled such an extreme distance in such a short amount of time.
Hyperspatial tube, Maddox said. Good. Now we have a name for it.
Valerie exhaled. We must find another Nexus. Yes. That means we're not marooned.
I never thought we were, Keith said.
That's because you're a lunatic, Valerie told him.
Maddox cracked his knuckles. We destroyed the enemy waiting for us, one enlightened about our coming by Ludendorff. That would indicate the professor is in this star system. I suggest we find him.
And twist his scrawny neck, Valerie said. Why do you think he turned on us, sir?
An excellent question, Maddox said. One I plan to discover. Lieutenant, begin scanning the dim star. Galleon, I expect you to search for evidence of life. I want to know everything about the system. We're going to make whoever is responsible for our predicament rue the day he tampered with a Star Watch vessel. The information began to gather. Victory had entered the system along the outer edge in a Neptune-like range compared to the star, meaning they would have to travel billions of kilometers to reach the inner system. There were no planets, no asteroids, no comets, apparently no Kuiper belt or Oort cloud or any debris of any kind, except for the expanding matter of the destroyed vessel.
The lack of comets, of any stellar dust, seems odd, Valerie said. Our sun acts like a giant vacuum cleaner, using its intense gravity to pull every comet and particle of dust to itself. But the process takes an incredibly long time, which is why the solar system still has plenty of comets and space debris. The lack of comets and dust here
suggests one of two things. This is either an incredibly old star system, the dim star might point to that, or it's like the asteroids of the Xerxes system.
Groomed, Maddox said, nodding thoughtfully.
Yes, to groom an entire star system so there are no dust particles left would entail an incredible amount of work.
It would also indicate high technology, Maddox said softly.
That's just it, Valerie said. The vessel we defeated shows a lack of such high technology.
The saucer vessel is not conclusive evidence, Galleon said, although it is certainly an indicator.
Right, Maddox said. Mr. Maker, you will increase our velocity toward the star. Since there's nothing else here, I suspect that's where we'll find our answers.
Keith tapped his board. I will increase the intensity of my scan for cloaked vessels and hidden habitats, Galleon said. He froze afterward, his eyelids fluttering. The captain's excitement faded as time passed. He was tired, and the laser wound still bothered him. Finally, he closed his eyes. If I snore, Maddox said, don't bother waking me. We'll begin to work in shifts. We'll also remain on the bridge, each taking catnaps in turn. We don't know how long it will be until the next emergency.
Do you expect something bad to happen, sir? Valerie asked.
With Ludendorff in the mix? I do.
Neither Valerie nor Keith replied. The tiredness seemed to leap up and yank Maddox down to slumber.
Captain, Valerie said. Keith, I've found something incredible.
Maddox lurched awake, leaning forward. It felt like seconds since he had closed his eyes. His focus went to the main screen. Everything looked the same.
How long have I been out? He asked. An hour and a half, sir,
Valerie said as she studied her board. Keith snorted, lifting his head off the piloting panel. Maddox glanced at Galleon. The hollow image was still frozen, although his eyes fluttered faster than ever.
I know why the star is dim, Valerie said. It also explains why there aren't any planets, comets, anything in the system.
She pointed at the faint star.
There's a Dyson sphere around it.
Never heard of a Dyson sphere, Keith said. What is it?
Exactly what it sounds like, Valerie said. A giant sphere built around a star. The sphere captures the star's entire energy output. Given that the builders manufactured an atmosphere inside the sphere, and that it's 1 AU out from the star, it has 550 million times the square footage as Earth.
Come again? Keith said.
Think about it, Valerie said. It's a giant, hollow ball built around the star. The surface is the same distance from the star as the Earth is from the sun. That means all the area in a circumference is habitable. That's a lot of land. In fact, it is 550 million times the amount of land on Earth, and that's including the oceans.
Give me a second, Keith said. You're saying that it isn't the star. That's the glow we're seeing of what shines through of the material surrounding the star.
Correct, Valerie said. And that's why there aren't any planets here.
Keith shook his head.
Why?
Think of it as a construction project, Valerie said. The builders needed material to put around the star, but 550 million square kilometers more than Earth's surface is vast. Where did they get all the stuff? Easy. They tore down the system's planets, comets, everything, using that matter to build with.
Keith whistled.
That would take fantastic technology.
Or a lot of time, Valerie said.
Keith scratched his head.
One thing bothers me. Where would they get enough people to fill up the sphere?
Valerie thought about it, soon shrugging.
Was the saucer's robot going to send us there?
Keith asked.
I believe so, Maddox said. Recall, it said we were going to board a launch and head to the habitable sphere. Now we know where it meant.
Something that vast, Keith said. We have our proof, eh? The builders must have made the sphere.
A logical deduction, Maddox said.
And it's 1,000 light-years from the Commonwealth, Keith added.
He turned to Maddox.
Sir, Ludendorff knows about the builder sphere.
This changes everything, doesn't it? Valerie asked. The magnitude of what we're seeing
It makes the new men a fly speck of a problem.
I disagree, Maddox said. The robot demanding our surrender said Ludendorff had given it the protocols.
So?
How was Ludendorff able to do that? Maddox asked. It would suggest he was in charge, not the builders. Valerie shook her head. Consider the destroyer, Maddox said. It was ancient, with an ancient builder creature trying to control it. Yet everything seemed run down, as if the makers hadn't been around for quite some time.
So?
The builders have left vast monuments of their time, Maddox said. We haven't seen a builder, just the things they left lying around. Maybe the Dyson Sphere is on the same order. Once the builders ran it, now who knows if it's just a relic of past glories.
Valerie thought about that. Okay, I see where you're going, but something's going on in the pyramid on Earth, right?
It is, Maddox said. But who's running the something? Builders, Ludendorff, Strand, or new men? From what I've seen these past years, I've begun to suspect that humanity is late to star voyaging. Others have gone before us. Maybe the galaxy used to swarm with intelligent life. They're all gone now, or mostly gone. We're the slow ones who finally showed up after everyone else quit playing.
Valerie peered at the main screen. I don't like your hypothesis, sir. It's eerie.
That may be, Maddox said. But is it correct?
Keith had become thoughtful.
Are you saying Ludendorff is in the Dyson Sphere?
It seems quite possible, Maddox said.
Then I say let's go get him and make the bastard pay for all our troubles, Keith said. I'm sick of his games.
Going after him is one possibility, Maddox said. Maybe it's even the wisest course.
It's why we went to the Xerxes system, Valerie said.
Yes, Maddox said. But I've begun to wonder. Maybe we can find something useful here in our war against the new men.
Valerie stared intently at the captain.
Hearing you say that, you really think we can get home again?
I've never doubted it for a minute, Maddox said. An uneasy smile appeared on the lieutenant's face. It dropped away a second later.
This is all theory.
A theory that seems to fit the evidence, Maddox said.
The three of them fell silent, studying the dim star, the incredible Dyson Sphere.
I have an announcement to make, Galleon said. I have been deep scanning for some time. Now I have conclusive proof. Port Admiral Hayes's flotilla is orbiting the Dyson Sphere by a few thousand kilometers.
Valerie clapped her hands. Have you contacted them yet?
That is the only negative to my report, Galleon said. I have been hailing them for some time and have received no replies. It would indicate the crews are unconscious, their equipment is wrecked, or that the vessels are devoid of people.
Chapter 30.
Maddox drew his pistol and fired, hitting the target at the end of the vast chamber. The kick, this time, proved greater than ever. He fired three more shots in quick succession, producing bullet holes around the edge of the first shot. A wisp of smoke trickled from the barrel.
Good shooting, sir, Riker said.
Maddox nodded, flicking the safety on and shoving the gun into its holster.
Your wound doesn't bother you anymore?
Riker asked. I feel a twinge now and again. The last 2 days have made the difference. They'd been traveling from the outer edge of the system for 48 hours. Soon they would begin deceleration at a Mars-like distance from the Dyson Sphere.
What do you think about the new ammunition? Riker asked.
I've adjusted to it, Maddox said.
It kicks like a mule, and I imagine a man's hand will go numb after too many shots. But the slugs will knock down an android.
More importantly, they will shred the creature.
That they will, sir,
Riker said, grinning. Maddox whirled around, drew the gun, and emptied the magazine into the target.
One thing has been bothering me, sir. You don't expect to go into the monstrous sphere, do you?
Maddox took his time answering. It's crossed my mind.
Searching for Ludendorff, I take it?
I mean to take him home, Sergeant.
I find that a dubious proposition, sir. It doesn't strike me as logical. 1,000 light years.
We will return home, Maddox said.
and we will do it within the year. The sergeant studied him. Maddox noted the cloaked anxiety in the older man's eyes. He'd been observing his crew, his family and responsibility. The others had shown similar fear, although it appeared in different ways. Truthfully, he also felt anxious. Being 1,000 light-years from anything he knew was a daunting sensation. The patrol arm of Star Watch routinely sent ships into the beyond on exploring missions. The patrol board searched for the right type of people to crew the vessels, using an exacting and specific standard. The board did so for a sound reason. Most military people possessed physical courage. They could risk their lives in battle and function as necessary during high-stress combat situations. Heading into uncharted territory took a different kind of personality and courage. The farther one left known space, the more jittery most people became. The patrol board believed they had lost more than one crew due to fear. Dread could lead to mutinies, to nervous breakdowns, and other mental maladies. Maddox doubted any patrol ship had ever found itself 1,000 light-years from human space. The feeling of isolation was powerful out here, battering at their psyches. Fortunately, the captain believed his makeup and life experiences had better prepared him for this. He was used to isolation. "I must feed them my strength." Maddox realized he could not do this forever. There was a limit to his mental endurance. Action and hope would be more help to the others. The best chance, as far as he could determine, was finding Ludendorff. The professor was a scoundrel and a cunning manipulator. The Methuselah man also knew more about space, the builders, and strange phenomena than anyone except possibly for Strand. "How are we going to get home, sir?" Riker asked. "There's no Nexus out here." "That's a mere trifle, Sergeant. It's clear how we'll do it. That's why I'm readying myself for the sphere." "Do you really think you can defeat Ludendorff? The man always had 100 tricks up his sleeve." "Of course I can best him. I'm surprised you doubt it." The beginning of a wry smile touched the sergeant's lips. "I have to admit one thing, sir. If I was going to be stranded 1,000 light years from home trying to get back, I can't think of anyone better than you to do it with. Your vote of confidence has propelled me to rarefied heights of delight. Now, you look tired. I'm going down to the sphere. I plan to have my left hand with me. That means you need to catch up on your sleep so you'll be ready to fight and think." Riker absorbed the news calmly enough. "Don't you mean your right hand, sir?" "No, that will be meta." Maddox nodded before heading to the hatch. "I suggest you hurry to your quarters while you can. The more sleep you can log now, the better for all of us later." Lieutenant Noonan paced back and forth in the briefing chamber. She wanted to sleep. Her eyes had taken on a slightly sunken quality. Every time she put her head on her pillow, though, she stared at the ceiling, her thoughts churning. This was madness. The incredible voyage down the hyperspatial tube, the Dyson sphere, the drifting warships of Port Admiral Hayes's flotilla, it was mind-boggling. She wanted to go home. She wanted regular, sensible duties. Yes, she wanted a line command, even if it was of an escort. She would have dearly liked to join Admiral Fletcher facing the new men in C Quadrant. "That's the real fight. We have to drive the new men out of the Commonwealth. This place is so alien, so frightening and unreal." Her world kept turning upside down, changing direction and speeding faster than light toward madness. She just wanted normal routine, a hard battle decision now and again. This, though, she waved a hand in the air. This was too much. It felt as if she floated outside her body, watching herself. She hadn't joined the Space Academy for this. Spinning silver pyramids in space was bad enough. Underwater pyramids at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean? Valerie moaned softly. Android doubles. Alien destroyers.
The door slid open. Valerie whirled around. Captain Maddox stood in the doorway, watching her. He wore a gun at his hip and stood as calm as you please. He waited, with his gaze boring into her. Something seemed to pass from him to her. Her heart rate decelerated. She seemed to breathe just a little easier. Maybe. Maybe they could find a way home again. Maybe they could find something here to help the war effort. They had Starship Victory, didn't they? They'd defeated every obstacle so far. Why couldn't they do it again? Impossible odds were the captain's M.O. The lieutenant yawned and her eyes felt heavy. For the first time since entering the pristine star system, Valerie felt as if she could actually catch a few winks. The captain entered the chamber. The door slid shut behind him.
Sir,
she said. Lieutenant, would you do me a favor?
Of course, sir,
she said. I have to do some thinking, but I find I prefer company while I'm at it. However, I want it quiet.
Didn't you want to talk to me, sir?
That can wait. Why don't you lie down on the couch over there?
I couldn't do that, sir.
Maddox shrugged as if it didn't matter. Afterward, he pulled out a chair and sat down. He stared at the table's surface, apparently.